Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How's your birthday going?
Good. I got a lot of stuff.
Huh?
I said good. I got a lot of stuff.
Yeah? That's cool.
Yeah.
Even though you forgot to tell me happy birthday.
No, I didn't. I wrote it on your wall.
I'm just fucking with you.
I know you are.
Been gone for 5 weeks.
I got flowers, I got shirts, I got a DVD player, I got free lunch, I got free dinner.
Yeah.
See, that's one of the differences between having boobs versus non-boobs.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's a girl thing.
Yeah. I was doing nights for 5 weeks.
I used to work third shift. I know.
Did that too.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was 7/10s, then it was 7/8s, I went back to 7/10s, a couple of 12s, but I'm not back. And update on Bill, he's went to the hospital today just to check to make sure that everything that happened to him didn't damage any other organs.
There he is. Right.
So he should be up and running around here pretty soon. But
he said
to say thank you in for everybody's prayers and thoughts.
Of course, we're always he's a good man.
And what's going on in Rhode Island?
Oh my God, what isn't going on in Rhode Island?
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Turkey time, babes.
Well, yep, let me see. This morning I started my baking at like 7 a.m. and I'm just about done with it. And then tomorrow we go to my best friend's house and set the table and do all the potato peeling and all that stuff that we can prep, you know, the day before. And then, man, Thursday it's on. That's it. Time to party, and we've got about 20 people going to be sitting around, you know, where I'm going, and after the turkey's put away, we've got some extracurricular activity about to take place. Of course, we got games and some Patron and some more games and some more Patron, you know, just got one of them nights.
It's going to be fun, yeah.
Yeah,
for anybody that didn't know, Mike P's show on Wednesday got canceled.
Why?
I didn't ask why.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean that, like, okay.
He was supposed to what? I'm lost.
Yeah,
he had a show.
He didn't have a show, but it got canceled.
Try that again?
He had a
show tomorrow night, but it got canceled.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's too bad.
Isabella is beautiful with that smile.
The what?
I said Isabella is beautiful with that little smile.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God. She went to the doctor's this week, got her first 3 shots. She's rocking. Yeah, she's rocking out at 9 pounds now. So, yeah, she's moving right along, and I couldn't be happier. She is just the love of my life, that little girl. I'm telling you. So what's going on with everybody else?
Well,
nothing
mine.
Really. Just,
oh, sorry.
Just busy.
Yeah, you are, man. Got all them shift changes and going from first shift to second shift, and oh my God, that's like an adjustment. Wears you out.
Yeah, it does. But yeah. I'll be back up. I'll be back up and rolling starting Friday. Got 3 events this weekend, and then the following weekend I got 4, and the weekend after that I got 3. Till the end of the year.
Wow.
Pretty much all. Pretty much all the parties down this way are indoors at this point. It's cold. You know, today I was wearing my coat outside in the afternoon because the breeze no longer was warm. It's cold. You know, not like ice cold, but not what I would call riding weather. This weekend I saw a few people out and about on their bikes, but not a whole hell of a lot. Those are the daring individuals. And it was in the early evening time. The sun had just set when, you know, it really begins to get chilly around here, and they were out riding, and I'm like, God bless you. Because it's cold. It's cold to have that wind in your face.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been T-shirt weather here.
Wow, in Chicago? Really? Wow.
Yeah, we're supposed to be 70 on Thursday.
We're only going up with like a high of 54, and in the evening time, it's right back down to like 31, 32 degrees.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've been having the windows open, you know. T-shirt on. It's nice.
No kidding. So
I don't know how long it'll last, but I'm not complaining.
Right?
It was 68 and sunny. The water was beautiful. The coast was fantastic. Except for the
Hey, Nora, let me say it to him. It's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Yep.
We don't know that. Send us proof, damn it.
Yeah, we don't know what California is all about.
Yeah, it could be all propaganda.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, between the two of you, don't pay job.
What?
We do quit our day job because our prime job at this point is to sit there and razz your ass.
Yeah, and
blank.
Hey, and when we're done, we hang up. He's got a good woman there that
will finish.
He can't escape. That's it.
Exactly. Yes, Gina will keep you in line. Check.
What are these events you're going to, and for whom, what, why, and when?
Well, let's see. I have to go back in here for a second. Art's having trouble getting the sound, but anybody having trouble getting the sound, go back out and come back in.
I was having a problem getting in and then being able to stay in, so I just logged out.
Well, on December 15th, which is a Saturday, I'll be in Ramona Gardens for the 5th annual Christmas Toy Run.
Nice.
Then on December 1st, from 10 to 3, Saturday, I'll be at the 2nd Annual Neighborhood Toy Drive. And then on Sunday, December 9th, I'll be at the Teamster Horseman Christmas Toy Drive. And then on December 2nd, I'll be at the Hells Angels SFV Toy Run in Chatsworth.
That'll be a good one.
I'll be at the Puff Puff Pass, Like to Hit, Shared Pass.
Puff Puff what? What are we talking about?
Puff,
what? There's one in the flyers.
Back away from smoke. You're really going to a bike run that's called Puff Puff Pass?
Absolutely.
Wow.
California, man.
That's awesome.
I was telling my boss the other day, though, I wish I had a job where I could punch stupid motherfuckers in the face all day.
Oh, dude, come this way. I'll put you in the middle of Fall River and you'll have a ball.
he just started laughing.
Oh, my God. I think my dog's seeing things that I can't see. For the past 3 days, he's been acting really weird.
Weird.
Yeah, he keeps backing himself into a corner and staring up at the top of the ceiling.
Wow.
Oh, then there's something there.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to hear a joke?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
All right, this one's called Morning Sex.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
I'm standing in the kitchen preparing our usual soft-boiled eggs and toast for breakfast, wearing only a T-shirt that she normally slept in. As I walked in almost awake, she turned to me and said softly, "You've got to make love to me right. You've got to make love to me this very moment." My eyes lit up and I thought, I'm either still dreaming or this is going to be my lucky day. Not wanting to lose the moment, I embraced her and then gave it my all right there on the kitchen table. Afterwards, she said thanks and returned to the stove, her T-shirt still around her neck. Happy but a little puzzled, I asked, "What was that all about?" She explained, "The egg timer's broken."
The what is broken?
The egg timer.
Egg timer.
Wow.
That was all right, but me.
Okay.
All right, well, here. Then I'm going to do this. What I got here is, I don't know if you guys heard Mike P's new song.
Yes.
Called Chopper Rollin'.
Yep.
All right, let me play this. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Awesome.
Jacking with us on that too.
Yeah.
Can't get a break around here.
Hey. Exactly. You know, you're getting razzed more than we are. Oh no, I take that back. I was on the phone the other day, and it was like just awesome. Poof. Oh.
You can't play the song at all. Is it jamming up or what?
Nah, they just fucking give me a blue screen. I'm trying to fix it right now.
They don't want him to play Mike P. They're not fans of the music.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Freedom of music liberation. So, Nora, you're on the verge of being a grandmother.
Since Sunday night, she has been in labor. Early labor. But she went to the doctor yesterday and she had to get some tests done. And there could be some issues we won't know until tomorrow. And it's blood pressure and too much protein in the urine.
Do you know what that means? Gestational diabetes.
Yeah. So if her water doesn't break, you know, at some point this week, they're going to induce her Tuesday, a week from today.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. So Phil's a grandfather, I'm a grandmother, you're about to be a grandmother. My goodness.
I'm just so excited. And yesterday was killing myself, trying to finish out the pain. We got the cows, you know, Winnie the Pooh stuff, you know, it's good. Wow, there's just so much. So today it was I'm doing nothing day, and, you know, I fared okay. I need a break in between this the room, everything, and then Thanksgiving.
Right.
But she's been getting really crampy, you know, that's been on and off, so it things are just getting righty, that's all. She's only dilated the two,
you know,
as of yesterday. So,
right.
You know, we got some time yet. And I told her it's so much better to relax here instead of being in the hospital and being stressed out.
Right. No doubt. Phil,
so,
you got that fixed?
What?
You got your screen fixed?
Yeah, I'm still working on it.
You need like the Geek Squad sitting on the side of you at all times.
He is a Geek Squad.
No, geek, the Geek Squad.
Oh.
From Best Buy, you know.
I thought I said that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Art finally got in.
I meant to say it.
What'd you say, Phil?
I said Art finally got in.
Yay for Silent Art.
Finally.
He should call us every now and then.
Yeah,
so
we like to hear his voice.
So we know he's not so silent.
He's silent and still.
We need to hire Art for Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He's got a couple of good pictures with that nice big beard. We put him in a red suit, and I guarantee a complete success.
Oh, yeah?
It's funny.
Absolutely. Art's got the perfect beard to play Santa with.
Oh, yes, he does. He can play Santa. We need to sit on his lap and get a Santa picture with him.
That's what I just said. We'll put him in a red suit and he'll be all set.
I know.
We just need him to volunteer. We'll put a set of antlers on the front of his motorcycle.
Yep.
And, you know, he'll be riding his reindeer. And that'll be it.
I know, right?
So, Phil, you going to play the old whole bastard this year or what?
I didn't hear you.
I said, are you going to be the whole monster this year?
No.
No? We can't get you in the red suit with the little pom-pom hat and the white beard?
Not today.
Wow.
I don't have a beard.
Well, we could put a fake one on you, you know?
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's not hard to put fake hair on someone.
No, super glue and cotton balls like we did when we were a kid.
Yeah.
And then comb the cotton balls out so they're nice and, you know,
yeah,
look like a beard. Hey, at least they wouldn't come off when you were riding down the road, Phil, you know?
Oh, or can freeze them, get them wet and stick them to his face. So when they die, kind of like a paste, you know.
Oh, nasty. So where's Fran? Is she in the room? Has she made an appearance? Hello, Fran, wherever you are. Happy Thanksgiving.
Online, but she's not, she didn't call in yet.
Ah,
okay. Well, happy early Thanksgiving, Art. I don't know who's all in the chat, but...
Yeah, Art.
Happy birthday. That's why he hasn't called in. He said, happy birthday, Nora. He also
Thank
said
you.
He'll show you his North Pole.
He wants to show me his North Pole? Come on, baby. Let me see you.
I have no words at this time.
That's a good thing.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never seen one, so I'm really excited about this.
Oh, my God.
You know, I didn't even get any birthday spankings. What the hell?
Wow. Well, around the world, if anybody wants to give Nora a spanking, just apply in Chicago. You'd be on set.
Oh, no, my friends here, they're like, oh, yeah, when we see you next yoga, I'm like, yeah, okay, promises, promises.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. But, Oh, did you see the photos of the shirts I got in the mail and the flowers?
I'm not sure. No. I haven't.
I got one from Greece and three from, no wait, two from Macedonia, and then I got flowers from California.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice.
So
hey,
cute.
Do you guys have out in your way, in the Chicago way, and out in California, Alex and Danani?
No.
No, it's a jewelry company?
No.
They make recycled.
No.
Well, it's pretty cool. And you can look them up online. It's Alex and then A-N-B, Anani, and that's spelled A-N-I. They make recycled bracelets. They're silver, one's silver, one's gold. And each bracelet has five little tags on it, plus the charm of your choice. Now, one of the tags on the bracelets says this, Clarity by Charity, which most diamond companies say Clarity by Design.
Right.
The Clarity by Charity is each one of the tags made on the Alex and Danani bracelets is to many different, they have one for autism, one for breast cancer, one for spinal cord injuries. They made the bracelets for the U.S. Olympics team. But here's the kicker to it. 20% of the proceeds of these bracelets go to that charity that's on that tag. So if you buy an autism bracelet, 20% of that sale you just made goes to the Autism Foundation. If you buy the breast cancer one, we have a big breast cancer charity locally over here called the Gloria Gemma Foundation. Pretty amazing stuff. And, I mean, they go for $28.
Wow.
And, yeah, and, you know, they're beautiful. And the five little tags that come, one says Charity by Design. The next one gives you the recycled. It shows the recycling thing, the little arrows.
Mm-hmm.
The next one says Alex and Anani. And the other one says made in the, and it shows the United States of America flag. And underneath it, it says love. It's, you know, it's got a little heart. So they're made in the United States. They're all handcrafted by people from this area. But they've grown so large locally. Newport, Rhode Island has the mansions right on the Newport coastline that you can go visit. And back in the 1800s, the Vanderbilts and different the Astors and different prestige people who traveled around the world and only summer vacationed in these mansions, you know, the Alex and Anani group was able to buy Belcourt Castle, which that is one of the ones that is proven haunted. So now they've changed the name to Belcourt Estates, and they're completely renovating it to what it was back when it was first built, and it will be, you'll be able to tour the mansion, but you'll also be able to rent it out for weddings, banquets, different things like that, because they have a huge ballroom with, and what lines the ballroom is those, you know, the knights in shining armor, the metal knight suits, wall to wall. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's, words can't say what's in these mansions, because these mansions are just phenomenal. But, you know, if you guys get the jewelry out that way, it's a cool little thing, because each bracelet you buy, like I said, goes to the charity of whatever you're getting, you know, and there's thousands, there's hundreds to choose from, and it's a cool little deal. So, you know, you're buying something for yourself and you're giving a little bit somewhere else. And, you know, I understand the breakdown of charity stuff, and obviously the group Alex and Anani is making more than the 20% they're giving to the charity, but you know what? It's still 20% more than what
How do you know they're giving it all to the charity?
Because they give 20%.
How do you know? Have you looked at the books?
It's advertised everywhere. It's on the walls of their thing. They're sponsored by all the big companies that are local to us.
Wait, listen.
Yeah.
They just did the breast cancer walk here in California. 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay. All the money they collected, they only give 10% to the charity. The rest goes in overhead.
Yeah, well, I just said to you, you pay $28 for the bracelet. 20% of that sale for the $28.
How do you know 20% goes?
I'm going by the paperwork they give you. They give
okay.
you a shitload of paperwork when you buy the bracelet to discuss the charities that they're involved with. And, like, what's 20% off of 28? Like,
$280.
Yeah, exactly. $3. I can see because, you know, they're generating money fast. And, yes, they're making their money. Believe me, they are. But I still look at it as it's still $2.80 or whatever you said, $3, going to the charity that you bought the bracelet for.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, I mean, that's the first company around here that's done that. And like I said, the materials are all recycled. You know, you either have recycled gold or recycled silver. And they're not, it's not real silver, it's not real gold. It's recycled material that makes those colors. So.
Okay.
You know, I would hope that they're doing the right thing, and I truly believe that they are. So look them up online, and then if you find a glitch somewhere in the fine print, you can yell at me later.
Well, I got somebody sent me this today, and it's by Adam Sandler, and I went to blue screen again, so I flipped over to the other monitor. But this one's called the Thanksgiving song. So listen to this while I'll be right back.
They want to hear the Thanksgiving song. This is the Thanksgiving song. Likes to masturbate with baby oil. kind of pants are corduroy. Gobble, gobble, boo, and gobble, gobble, giggle. I wish turkey only cost a nickel. Oh, I love turkey on Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving,
that was good.
You cannot celebrate Thanksgiving without Mr. Adam Sandler singing that song.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just got one. The day that Twinkie died.
What is it? 11/16.
Yeah. Well, listen to this.
Thank you.
Oh, God, who sang that?
It was a parody on American Pie. That's where the music came from.
You know, right here in Cranston, Rhode Island, we have the factory. And it employed a lot of people. But there's already talk that there's a couple of potential buyers.
Yeah, somebody in Mexico wants to buy it. And somebody asked me yesterday, what do you think they're going to taste like? So I said tacos or chorizo.
Well, here's the thing. You know, it would be nice if a potential buyer would keep it in America where it belongs. But we all know it's going to be shipped somewhere overseas, and they're going to be paying their workers 4 cents an hour, and your filling to your Twinkie is going to have lead base to it, and it's going to glow in the dark on top of living forever. I'll tell you what, they take my cakes overseas, and when they come back, they can keep them. You know, and the general public should be weary, because how many, you know, here's a prime example. How many toys last year came from China that they found lead paint? On our toys that we let our kids play with.
Exactly.
You know, now, this is something you're going to eat. So, you know, how stupid would you be to put an imported Twinkie in your mouth? Let's think about this.
Right.
You know, you don't know what's going on down there. You don't, you know, I mean, but, you know, I pray, and it's weird, because that's been part of my prayers, that let somebody in America buy that company and get it back up on the ground, because they've already determined that the only reason why it went under because the CEOs weren't handling the money right, because the company was making money. So, you know, let's hope
they weren't sharing the money. That's the problem.
No. The corporate took over, but I mean, you know, the workers, they took a pay and their pay cut and everything.
They took
to stay in.
Yep, they took a big kick in the ass is what they did, because the people they relied on to run the company right didn't. So like I say, I hope and I pray that somebody picks up this company and keeps it in America and keeps these people working, because every day it's always something.
Yeah.
I mean, did you guys see the big strike going on with the Walmart workers?
Yeah.
And right there where you are, Phil, California. You know, because everybody here, like in our area, is holding up a big sign at the entrance to Walmart, labor disputes, but they haven't actually started that whole striking thing. But I was watching tonight on the World News that they were showing, how do you pronounce it, SECO, California? I think it was spelled SECO, something like that, that their workers were all outside and on strike.
What was it?
SECO. I think that's how it was spelled, SECO, something like that.
Sacramento.
It was out there in California. Yeah.
All right, hang on.
Okay.
What's going on in Arizona?
Oh, nothing. I was just taking a little cat nap while you guys were discussing things.
Yeah?
Yeah, I kind of was.
The next time you're going to breeze through town, do it a couple hours before you're headed south, and I would have left early to come and meet you.
Oh, yeah. Give you more notice. I think I was supposed to be driving through there on Friday.
Yeah.
But that's kind of up in the air now.
Okay.
So do you guys work Friday?
Huh?
I said, do you guys work Friday?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I'm headed, I'll be in the wind. I'll be up north Friday.
Well, up north where?
L.A.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get to drive through there too. Maybe. I'm not leaving until Friday night, so I probably won't get into Oceanside until like 6 in the morning or so.
Saturday morning or Friday morning?
Saturday morning.
All right. That'll probably be when I'm heading south.
So what are you guys doing Saturday morning?
I got a toy run.
Oh.
I got a party at a bar to go to.
Dang.
That's having an open house.
Nice.
A photo shoot.
A photo shoot? Nice.
Mm-hmm.
What are they shooting photos of?
Naked chicks on bikes.
Nice. That's freaking awesome.
There's three of them in competition. They want to be babe of the week.
Nice. And you know what they all look like?
Yes, I do.
Every inch of them, right?
Yeah, you'd be surprised the pictures I get sent.
Is this how about like saying, hey, this is Blase Splee. We're listening to a conversation, and I'm only going to take a guess, and I think it's Alicia. Am I right?
No.
I'm wrong.
Stacy?
Yes?
And Nora, say hello to Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey. Hi, guys.
What's going on?
Well,
excuse Phil in his rudeness on not giving us formal introductions.
That's because I was... So, where was the job in Chico?
It was for Enloe Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
Unit secretary, and I got the job.
Uh-huh.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so much. But
you're welcome.
I don't know where I'm going.
She's having a little hard time.
Oh.
Told her we'd brighten her day.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, Phil, you're such a ray of sunshine.
Heck yeah.
He just glows in the sun.
He glows like a beautiful butterfly.
Yeah. And skinny jeans.
But in Arizona, he'll burn a little.
Oh, you know what, Phil? To make this night complete, we just need Bill here. And then, you know, he kicks out the kickers and you like,
true?
Huh?
No, Bill's recovering from surgery. He had an operation on his kidneys.
When did he get that done?
Well, about 2 weeks ago, and then because he's been off almost a month, but he tried to pass some stones, and then he got infected, and then he started to turn black, and da 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 da.
Ooh.
With him the other day for about an hour and a half, and he's getting a little better. He just said he went back today to find out if anything that happened to him ruined any did anything else to any the rest of his organs.
Wow!
But he dropped about 35 pounds.
Holy crap! So did you talk to him today? How's he doing today?
No, I haven't talked to him yet because he had a rough day today from what his brother told me. So I just let him get some rest. I'll hit him up tomorrow or I'll go see him on Thursday.
All right. Well, tell him I said hi and I hope he feels better.
I will. And if you're in Oceanside at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, you might want to hang around until about 10:15. Now you can give him a hug.
I will do that. I can definitely do that.
Okay. Let's hold on. We got one more guy here. You see?
Okay.
No, he left. But I think that was Stan calling from Colorado.
Oh.
But it's like I was gonna plan this because I've been off for the last 5 weeks. You know what? I just it'd be better if I just sit here and bullshit with everybody, and. Because everybody, you know, my problems might be less than yours or yours might be more than mine. But if we can all sit here and talk about things, everybody's happy.
Yeah, that's true. Cheer each other up.
Exactly. So what made you decide to go to Chico?
His name is Mark.
Uh-huh.
And he lives there.
Huh?
And he was actually thinking about moving here, and then, I don't know, he changed his mind, which is fine. So So I started looking for jobs up there, and then last week I drove up there and interviewed, and I told him, I said, well, if I get the position, you know, I'm going to be moving up here next weekend. And he said, okay, that's great. That sounds awesome. So then I drive home, and I don't know where he's at. I haven't talked to him. I talked to him, or he sent me a text yesterday morning, but I haven't talked to him. I've called him, left him messages, Facebook, and I got nothing.
Wow.
I actually just been calling him before I called him to the show, and not answering. Yeah.
So let me get this straight. Let me make sure I heard everything. You moved from point A to point B for a job that now the person who gave you the job is MIA.
No, the boyfriend.
Not the person. The person that she was going to go and stay with is MIA.
Oh,
yeah.
That's messed up. Someone offers you a place to lay your head, and then you show up, and that's shady. Not
well,
nice.
I haven't left yet, and he's my boyfriend, so it's very shady.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little confused right now, because I talked to his roommate, and his roommate said that he hasn't been at the house since Saturday.
When you left?
Yeah, when I left. Yep.
Wow. You know what to do?
Go get
yourself a 20-pound frozen turkey, crack him in the head, and then ask questions. You know?
I like that idea.
It's a happy Thanksgiving, crack.
Right?
Wow. Dude,
I know.
That sucks. That sucks.
And the person lives in California?
Yeah, my boyfriend lives in California. And I already quit my job here.
Oh, God.
So
there's no way of like going back to your employer tomorrow and just saying, look, it didn't pan out. It was a rational decision. Could I possibly have my job?
I actually called them back today, and they were going to discuss it and get back with me. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Oh, my God. His name isn't Patrick, is it?
I might be relocating by myself on Friday.
Wow.
That's horrible.
So it will be an adventure, though.
No doubt, but at your expense, and that's what's bogus about it. You know?
Give me till Friday, and I'll make a couple of calls so you got some place to rest your head.
That would be great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. This is going to be long.
What?
I said that list is going to be long.
I know, right? You might want to just start making it right now.
Oh, I already did, dear. Trust me.
Oh, dang.
Now, was this I know it's personal. I'm sorry, but was this something that was online, or did you guys meet at all, or...
Oh, no, we've met before. Yeah, he's flown out here, and I've been, you know, up there. So it's just kind of a weird situation where he just kind of disappeared.
Hey, I'm gonna ask you something, and I've always gone by this. Your heart never leads you in the right direction. Your head tries to overanalyze, compensate for A where B is lacking. What does your gut say? If your gut feels like it's going to throw up and somebody punched you in it, there's your answer.
Hey, you sound like Bill.
No, dude, I let me tell you something. I have lived by that my whole life, and your gut doesn't steer you wrong.
Exactly. Right, it doesn't feel quite that bad. But I'm, like, worried that something's, like, I'm mad and I'm pissed off and I feel like I'm being drugged through the ringer. But I'm also concerned that nobody's heard from him and something might be wrong.
Have you checked with his parents, family? Because, I mean, the holiday's Thursday. You know,
yeah.
Somebody's had to hear from him. And here's another thing. if his phone is just ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing, then it goes to voicemail. Yeah. Well, obviously he's not shutting it off, and it's still maintaining charge, because even if he was, like, in a car accident and hanging off a cliff, and his phone would lose charge, and it would shoot
absolutely
straight to voicemail. You know,
absolutely.
So...
So he's choosing not to talk to you.
I didn't even think about that. That was good.
Yeah,
he's,
you know,
he's choosing not to talk to you.
Yeah.
Good.
You know.
What?
You know, I had a very bad deal with someone out in California, and oh my God, never again.
Do you want to hear about my last boyfriend? Let me tell you this. He's, no offense, Phil. He is a former Marine. I mean, everybody loves him. He deems himself to be the most upstanding guy in the world. Worked for
right.
the Department of Corrections, everything. That motherfucker still has everything of mine that I had in my apartment, of my kids. He has my clothes. He has my pictures. And he won't give it back. Christmas decorations. I was driving down the road yesterday to take my to pick up my daughter from work, and I looked at a Christmas tree lot, and I just busted up crying, because I know that that asshole has every sentimental Christmas ornament of mine, decorations, everything, and he won't give it back.
Unbelievable.
Like, yeah, my couch, my bed, my table, my dishes, my kids' clothes, he's got it all.
Did you go to the courthouse like I told you?
Yeah, I did that for my guns, but I am in the process. I have to get pictures to prove what was mine.
Did you buy anything by credit card or debit card or written check?
He lived with me for a month.
Mm.
A month. He lived with me for a month, and then we got an apartment together, which we lived in for 2 weeks, and we had a lot of our stuff in storage. And then everything went bad with us. Well, when he kicked me out on Mother's Day this last year, and he put all of our stuff in storage, I left, and he moved into a house. I don't even know where he lives anymore.
So basically he's claiming you abandoned him.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, Phil.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I have police reports stating that he kicked me out on Mother's Day, so I didn't abandon anything. I have text messages from him stating that I could come get my stuff whenever I wanted to, but he changed the code and stuff.
Well, make sure you hang on to those text messages.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Make sure, because, I mean, that might be your only thing in court, you know, getting you your stuff.
He said if I can find pictures of my stuff before he moved in, which I've got tons of them, I just have to gather them all and print them up and take them down to the police station.
Right.
And then I can file a theft report.
Right.
But the theft on the guns, that's 3 felony counts, but they have up to a year to prosecute him, which I didn't know that. So he hasn't even been prosecuted for that yet.
Well, remember I told you that there's a statute of limitations and all that shit. That's why I told you to go down there and find out what's going on.
Right. Well, I have a friend, one of my ex-husband. When I was married to my second husband, his best friend was they were both in the Corps together, and we lived at Camp Pendleton, whatever. Well, anyway, he got out and he became a detective with the Gilbert Police Department, and I've been working with him the last few weeks to get all this done.
Uh-huh.
So that's good. So he's helping me.
That's good.
You ought to just start carrying a ball-peen hammer.
Yeah.
if it was legal to carry my 9mm...
No. It's not. Listen to me very carefully, dear. Unless you write your name on the hammer, it's not illegal to carry a hammer.
Really?
Really.
Really, really, really.
You've never listened about that on the show.
Uh-uh.
Yep. They pull me over all the time. I have to school them because it's on top of my saddlebag.
Wow.
Because
it's not illegal. It's not illegal.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Who's going to ask questions?
I was going to say that it's not concealed because you're visibly showing it.
No, it doesn't matter if it's concealed or not. It's not illegal to carry a hammer.
But if your name is on it.
Unless they're going to change my name to Master Mechanic or Genuine Hickory, they can get fucked.
So true.
And you should see the look on her face when I tell them that.
But do they actually have to sit there and look up their laws? Or do they know you're right?
No, they pretty much realized once they pulled me over and didn't realize, you know, once they asked for all my shit. Because if they pull me over right away, they don't have time to run anything. And usually it's a Mutt and Jeff team, a big guy with a little guy, and the little guy's on the computer, and then he'll come out and say something, and the next thing I know, it's like I'm asking for a supervisor because they want to play games. And then when the supervisor shows up, talk to him for a couple of minutes, he hands you all my stuff back and says, have a nice day.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm very well known over here as being a prick.
Yeah, I guess. I could tell a little.
Well, when you take seven of them off their motorcycles, and they each lose $830 a month, they kind of get pissed off.
Yeah, I could see that. I would like to, like, be around you with a video camera just taping all of this. That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's also fun when I put my tape recorder on the seat when I tell them I'm going to reach for this or reach for that. And usually, after they handcuff me for my own safety, then they want to go through everything, and you can hear me clearly screaming, "I do not consent to any search."
Nice.
And the last time I went to court, I had the tape from the theater. They happened to pull me over in front of the theater, and the show was getting out, so it got like 450 people who all heard me say, "I do not give up my consent for search on any of my person or my motorcycle."
Wow.
And I subpoenaed a copy of the videotape from the theater, which I got, and I had it, but I never got too far because the judge said, in the interest of justice, once they couldn't produce anything, that he was dismissing the case.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And then for the next 3 weeks, I had to play hell with them trying to get over there before they closed because every time I pulled in a parking lot, the close sign went in the window.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then when they gave me my gun back, it had no bullets in it, so I went back to court the next day and got the writ to get my bullets back. And that really frustrated.
They're expensive.
Yeah. And that's fine.
Take them out of the gun and give them to you separately, but don't keep them.
That really pissed them off.
Ooh. Gotcha.
So let me ask you this. Okay, you call the number and it just goes to voicemail?
Yeah. Well, no, it rings like 4 or 5 times and then it
goes to voicemail.
That means he's directing it to voicemail. Because
if he's directing it to voicemail, it'll ring twice.
Say that again?
If he's blocking it, and he's just letting it sit there, and he just lets it go to voicemail, it'll ring 4 or 5 times. And it's almost like, I thought maybe he lost it, you know, left it on, and, like, left it at the bar or something, because it would just ring and ring and ring and ring, and then his voicemail would pick up. But I don't know anymore.
Hey.
I wouldn't trust it. Sorry.
I know.
Neither would I.
I just want to make sure he's all right. I don't want him to be, like, in a bad situation or, you know, anything like that.
Well, like I said, you know, if family hasn't
heard... Wait. What about the situation he's leaving you in right now?
That's what I was thinking, but I was trying to be nice.
No, I understand that. No, I understand that. He is definitely putting me in a terrible position, but when it comes to him being like injured or something really terrible has happened, I just want to make sure he's all right. And as soon as I know he's all right, then I'll shove a broomstick up his ass and tell him to go fly a fucking kite.
Well, what type of lifestyle does he lead that you would think he could possibly be injured?
Oh, not discussable on the radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Is he in a club?
No, but there's some associations and some shit went down a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, if you get the, this happened and that happened, and you want to see proof.
Right. Well, after the show, you'll have to give me a call so I can tell you about the last incident, and then you might be able to fill me in a little bit better on.
All right.
Cool. Deal? Thanks.
Deal.
All right. I have to go pick up my daughter from work, so I have to let you guys go.
Well, hopefully everything will work out, and if you need to stay where you're at, then stay put where you're at, you know?
Yep.
Thank you so much. It's really helps.
We know it's hard. We've all been there in some form or another, you know, but
the anger's starting to manifest now. At first I was just stressed and worried. Now I'm starting to get pissed off.
Yeah, I know.
Well, yeah, but why are you gonna waste all that excess energy until you find out what's going on?
Amen.
True.
Amen.
True.
Huh? Okay, sometimes I'm not just a good-looking guy. I'm smart, too.
Don't.
Really?
Let's remind you, too, that
there's some guys out there that will have no problem taking advantage of someone and getting everything all situated and then sticking it in your ass in the end, where you're so angry, all you want to do is just freaking pop them right in the goddamn face. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
A little hostilities.
Yes. Because you know what? When that happened to me, you have no idea. No idea. To this day, I know that piece of shit walks around and fucked me so goddamn bad. I swear by the grace of God, if I saw him face to face, he would regret it. I'm not kidding.
Well, I told you who to talk to about that.
Well, I did talk to one person about it and didn't do anything because he doesn't want to get involved.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So I'm beyond angry. When this piece of shit walks around another fucking state visiting, looking high on the fucking hog, and he stuck it in my ass? No. Yeah, I'm an angry bitch. I sympathize with her, and I know it's bullshit. It's not cool. Sorry. I didn't mean to vent.
That's okay. Venting is good for you.
All right, Jamie, I'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right, thanks. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Good holiday.
Well,
Phil, one of my friends said she tried calling, but she was put on hold for a brief little bit and she hung up.
What was the number?
It either starts with a 774 or a 508.
Oh, I know who that is, I think.
I didn't see
it. She's been on with us before, huh?
But I didn't see it.
Yeah, because she was listening to the show through her phone because she was texting me as we were talking and she was laughing at some of the things we were saying. And she's like, he hasn't picked up. And I'm like, but he's talking.
Tell her to call back.
I did. She was going to bed. You lucked out.
Yeah.
I lucked out? Why is that?
Because she's...
You didn't get to hear awesomeness. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I only, you know, socialize with great people. Remember that. They're all funny. Hey, look, the last time I had one of my friends call the show, she took up the whole show for 2 hours.
Yeah,
and
that was funny.
Her in the island of Bermuda, and everybody just loved her. Speaking of which, I'm going there in July. Going down the coast. Yep, me and one of my besties, Nancy, we're booking the tickets after the holidays. Sometime in January, we'll be down there in July. And I don't think the island's ever going to be the same.
I don't think so either. Are you sure you're going to come back?
Oh, I don't know, but she just bought a Jeep. Like, you know, a little Jeep, regular
right.
Jeep, and you pull the top off. So we're going to be cruising the 5 Mile Island, because it's 5 miles to go from one end of the island to the other. You can drive around the whole island in 45 minutes. So I might even rent a little scooter for the day. They don't allow the tourists to have, I guess, scooters that have shifters on them. It's just
right.
gas and tow. Only the experienced riders can have a scooter with a shift.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, are you kidding me? And she's like, yeah. She said, and you would be considered a tourist. I said, I wouldn't care. Wouldn't mind scooting around the island on a scooter for the day. But nothing bigger than that. They don't allow motorcycles down there. So.
Right.
I could never live there. Never, never. Not hearing the sound of, you know, the rumble coming down the road, or, you know, being in the city and hearing a Holley go by. I could never. I could never live without motorcycles. I wouldn't know what to do.
Well, did you hear what happened yesterday?
It depends on what it is. I heard a lot of things that happened yesterday, but enlighten me.
In San Antonio, Texas, students were expelled for refusing to get a location trafficking badge.
Good for
them. They were going to put a chip in them.
Yeah, fuck that.
Wow.
That's just like some places with the it's almost like an ankle something or other, but it monitors
yeah.
their whereabouts, where they go, and all this other blood. You know, screw that. You know, my child is not your homing device, you know? All set with that. That's just ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you something. I walk around with 1, 2, 3, 4 chips in my IDs for work. But when I tell them I'm over here, I'm over there. When I tell them I'm over there, I'm over there. Because everything gets monitored now, and if you're not where you're supposed to be, you better have a damn good reason for being where you're at.
Right. You know, I could understand.
I mean, they're getting right now. We talked to the president of the company a month and a half ago. And he was talking about us all switching over to this different health plan where I put money in and they put money in to start it.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get the insurance down from $11,000 a head to...
Ooh.
So they're saying it costs them $11,000 per person for health insurance.
Wow. But, you know...
I'll tell you, it's crazy. It's damn freaking messed up. I'm sorry, I'm hostile.
No, man. I hear you.
I mean, no matter where we turn, we're getting fucked. You know,
yeah.
If it's not by our...
I'd like to reach around before I get fucked, you know?
Yeah, you know, but it's just so shitty because, I mean, even going back... All right, when I was 21... and working and stuff, and, you know, every job you went to offered you part-time, which was 20, 25 hours, or full-time, which was 40 hours, and full-time always came with benefits. Nowadays, you got 40 hours, 32 hours, 30, 28, you know, nobody offers nothing, nobody's paying into anything, and they're keeping everybody at minimum wage, and that's not going to work.
Right.
You know,
and the benefits are coming lower, or...
And it's
really non-existent.
Right, and
you
it's not about the Republicans are wrong, the Democrats are wrong. It has nothing to do with that. Everybody's got to come to fucking together to get this country balanced, and that's it.
Right.
And there's no right,
you know,
there's no wrong, there's no left wing, there's no right wing. It's a matter of everybody getting on the same fucking page and concentrating on this economy, because our American dollar is losing value on a daily freaking basis. you know, and people just, everybody needs to come together, you know?
You know what really gets my fucking goat? I mean, we know the insurance companies are nothing but a piece of shit to begin with. But if you don't have it, you know, boo fucking who, and you're screwed. But, like with my daughter. Let's use this for an example. She's on maternity leave, okay? Now, she worked at the place over a year, okay? The stipulation for a maternity leave from the day of her last day of work that the doctor put her on for a maternity leave, if she doesn't have that baby within 30 days, guess what? The insurance doesn't cover. But they've already paid so much on the bills. So who's fucked? You know what I mean? I've never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life. Now, remember back in the day, you had, you know, your daughter, I had my kids, you know, we worked.
Yep.
We were on maternity leave. 6 weeks, poof, we're back. Insurance,
well, they,
you know,
they told my daughter that after January, if they don't get any new contracts, she doesn't have a job.
Wow.
That's bullshit.
Now, does she work, with you?
No, she works, she's a project site manager for a construction company.
Wow, no kidding.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, she listened to her dad when she was little, and I taught her how to read a tape and all that shit.
No, that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. You know, because a woman that can cook and build a house, that's an A-plus all the way around from me.
Oh, exactly. You know, I mean, God bless her. But, you know, this is, when does it ever end? Oh, wait, it was supposed to end as of November 6th. It didn't work out that way.
Huh?
But, you know, we had two pieces of shit to deal with. So, which one was...
Please tell me you aren't referring to Romney.
No, what I mean is that there were two pieces of shit, so we were fucked no matter what.
Yeah, but
whoever,
you know,
got in, we were going to be screwed.
Not to stick up for Obama, because that's not what I'm here for, but whatever president comes into office from the president before has a boatload of mess. And what people seem to not keep at the forefront of their brain, that the president before Obama put us in a boatload of debt. They keep, they don't want to reveal those numbers. Nobody wants to talk about those numbers. Well, you add that debt on top of the daily debt, and then you get this big figure that they're dumping in the president's lap. You know, people need to realistically sit back and take a freaking chill. I swear this was the messiest, nastiest election ever. I believe race played a part of it. I believe more dirty politics than I could ever tell you, because let me tell you something. Romney didn't do a goddamn thing for the state of Massachusetts except put us in the history books. For the highest amount of debt Massachusetts had ever seen.
Right.
You'd never heard that. You'd never heard about Romney Care. You never. And again, I'm not here to bash either political figure. You know, it's too much Republican, too much Democrat, and not enough look.
Let's get
the bullshit about your conservativeness, and you want gun laws, and you want this, and you want no welfare, and you want that. Bullshit. The only job that they should be doing right now is concentrating on getting this country back on its fucking feet and stop all the bullshit bickering. Like, when ever have you ever heard of politicians Facebooking, Twittering, and all this other bullshit? They should be banned from that altogether.
Yeah.
You know,
actually, they should hold all their fucking paychecks till they get their heads out of their ass and figure this shit out.
Let me tell you something. I don't think any president at all should be paid for their job. They're in that position because they have money to be in that position.
They have oil fields or whatever the case may be.
End of the 4 years, they should be given like a gratuity, like you give a tip. Okay, here's a little gratuity for your 4 years worth of you love your country so much, you put it before anything else.
Right. I agree.
Because you know damn well, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you're not hurting. Because to get to that position, you have to have money. It takes money to make money. And if you don't have money, you ain't cashing the checks, you know?
And, you know, the worst thing about it is what they get paid to give for fucking life, even if they are not in office anymore. Bullshit.
Yeah. And all the
once
bullshit.
They are out, cut their shit.
Yep, the Secret Service and all that other shit. That's just like people in Congress. I believe that Congress should be shooken up, too.
Yeah.
There's some people in Congress that have been sitting there for how long?
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that I don't believe in, but, you know, it always gets dumped on the president. And I just think that it's too much dirty politics, and I think people should point the fingers at their own self, place their own blame, and, you know, go on with stuff. There's a lot more
right.
shit in the world to worry about.
There's other things, and I agree with that. But, needless to say, presidents, it's fucked up the world. It doesn't help.
How do you think of this position? I have a friend who is Orthodox Jew and has family in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who is Muslim. Her husband's 100% Muslim from Egypt, and she's an American. So they're Muslim-American, I guess, whatever.
Right.
And he has family in the Gaza Strip. Now, on a daily basis, I'm hearing negativity out of the two. Neither one of them know one another, but I'm hearing
right.
negativity out of the two. And these are actual people in my real circuit of people, not Facebook people
right.
of MySpace. These are real people
real
in my life.
Right.
And you know what? I think people need to concentrate on that and getting, you know, world peace and all this fighting bullshit. Because I think the beginning to a positive beginning is to stop all this war and stuff.
Let's
you know, that,
put it this
that,
way.
That Gaza area is so tiny, and it's going to be fought for time and time and time and again. And you know what's funny? God bless my grandmother. I miss her so much. But she used to say that the people of Israel would never get all their land because they were chose to wander. And,
right.
you know, she would go into all this biblical bullshit, you know.
Right.
But, you know, right here I'm looking at how many times Israel's been to battle and how many times we've fought the Arab nation for whether it be oil, whether it be God only knows. It's been constant
right.
conflict. And, you know, it kind of makes sense. But we need to concentrate on more world peace. And I think if everybody was in harmony and everybody was in sync, we would see a turnaround all the way around.
Yeah. I mean, there's too much hostility, too much hate, too much racism. Now, I'm
yep.
not racist by any means, but
right.
what I don't like is if somebody's going to sit there and say, well, you're kind. What do you mean, my kind?
Yeah.
You know?
And that's just like I don't agree with, it's okay for a black man to call his black friend the N-word, but if a white person calls them the N-word, that's a racist slang.
Yeah.
To me, for years, they've battled against using that word. Well, why in fuck are you going to still use it? When, you know, people don't make sense nowadays, and that's the problem. We have a very uneducated, ignorant society that's raising more ignorant people, and this is what we're pushing out. And these are our end results. You know, I mean, nothing's going to go right till people pull together, and it's obvious that people are never going to pull together. So
right.
sell me my mountain so I can go live on it and fuck the world.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
It's sad.
But the house
sad,
care
sad.
Is bullshit in this country. But it is bullshit in any country. I don't care where the fuck you're at. You know, the politics intervene in too much shit, and they should just, you know, upon decades, how many people have been fighting in that Gaza Strip? God help those people.
You know what America's problem is? I'll tell you, right here, live, they all need to smoke pot. They are too high strung on their Xanax, Valium, and Percocets, and Clonidines, and antidepressants, and all these things that make them act like fools. You know, the whole world will just sit back and have a big blunt and shut up, chill, and negotiate. I swear things would roll a lot smoother.
That's true.
Well,
you know, it's just like
your intake on it, which is cool, you know. Me?
Man, I wouldn't mind, you know, send the president to my house. Let me sit down and smoke a blunt with him and talk about world politics. I guarantee.
Well, hell, he's making beer at the White House.
Well,
go visit him, have a beer, and have a joint.
I guarantee we could sit here for 3 hours and engage in some awesome conversation. And you know, that's what I mean. When they get together down at the United Nations, they need like 5 hookahs on that table. Everybody suck on a pipe before we talk. I'm telling you.
Or it can be go native and smoke the peace pipe. And that wasn't pot.
Don't matter what it is, it's just, you know, in the words of John Lennon, what was that, give peace a chance?
Yeah.
Something like that, and I've come to.
But nobody's gonna do it. Nobody's gonna do it.
You're never gonna see it. It's never gonna happen. But in my heart and in my mind, I firmly believe that that's what would change things. And unfortunately, we'll never see it—not within our lifetime.
Mm-mm. No. And I'll tell you something. You know, in regards to being decent to other people, God, there's so many fucking rude people out there, and you can sit there, hey, how you doing? Have a great day, you know, and they look at you like, what the fuck are you on? You know?
Well, you know, because check this out. Me and my friends, like, we won't even go into the city to, like, go grocery shop and do different things because it's just ghettoville. And, you know, not to downgrade anybody because, you know something, I've had some very poor moments in my life. But it's one thing to live in the ghetto. It's another thing to act like the ghetto.
Exactly.
And these people act like fools to the point where, you know, I might possibly turn around and have to give you a new dental line. You know what I'm saying? So we go out of the city. We'll go 2-3 towns over to go to the same store that's like 2 minutes away. Because
because there are stores like that. I know. Because, you know, my daughter, she said the same thing. I said, why don't you go to this store and ghetto? I said, what? It's gotten that bad? You know, it's crazy. So I understand the term for it, you know, because it's not what someone else would think it is. But, you know, unfortunately, you say ghetto and all of a sudden you're a racist ass.
Well, you know something, I'm so sick of the race card. But you know what the race card is? The race card is an easy way for one to get out of explaining what it is. You know, they fall back on, you know, not to pick on black people because I don't do it. It's not part of my thing. But you get these people that get yelling up in your face, you know, you're white trash, you're this, you're that, and, you know, they get off on these tangents and stuff, and it's like, you know, my people, you enslaved my people. Listen here. You know, first of all, that happened how long ago? And second of all, you know,
I tell them, get over it. You weren't on the boat.
Right.
Well,
and
let's put it this way,
How can you blame each? You know, for what happened years ago, and it's just, it's freaking ridiculous.
Right. Well, look at it this way. They want to pull that card. They pull it all the fucking time. If the jobs aren't open enough for them, if there's not enough different ethnicities in a company or whatever, they pull that card. You know, how often, and this was back long before the black people, how many people have ever said that because they were Native American? Have you heard any?
They use is that there are sub ethnic people, well, Native Americans. They keep to themselves.
Yeah.
You don't see them. You know, we did, I think, more shitty things to the Native Americans who lived here long before we did than we've ever done to the Africans.
Anybody else.
And you don't see them turning around and saying, what you did to my people long ago, or
right. You
blah, 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 blah. They sit there and live in the most extreme poverty-stricken areas.
I know. I've been on the reservation. I know.
Yeah, and they suffer in silence. And
it's
an atrocity. We sent so much money overseas for these starving little babies. Well, motherfucker, we have starving children right here in this fucking country.
Yeah.
If you're going to donate 10 grand overseas, why don't you fucking put it where you live?
Yeah.
I'm sick of that, too.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, my kid used to hate it. She'd go to school, she was picked on for being, you know, so much Native American, and it was by other ethnicities. What are you kidding me? Who the hell does that? Oh, you know, ignorance. That's what does it.
Yeah.
You know, and she used to, people would sit there, what are you? Nothing, I'm white. And I'm like, what? Yeah.
It's just, there's two, it comes to the point where I view America as, if anybody's got any biblical aspect about them, America has become Sodom and Gomorrah, which in the
mm-hmm.
Bible, those are the two evil cities that if you looked at them, you turned to stone, you know,
when
it was destroyed in the end. But that's pretty much become America because I feel my personal belief is some of the laws that govern the United States, they're not proper. They're not up to code or standard. But you've got other things that govern our United States that has to be in place because otherwise you'd have total anarchy, total chaos, and you'd have three chiefs and not enough Indians, as the old saying goes. You have to have some sort of, you know, what's the
structure?
Word I'm looking for? There you go, structure.
Yeah.
And that's,
well, you know what? There isn't any. It's bullshit.
There you go. That's the problem. Everything's becoming unstructured. You know, it was a rarity. You even saw two people in the same bed on a TV show when I was a kid. Now, they're half naked on regular TV.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching a regular channel soap opera the other day, and there's, you know, they two people, like, practically half naked. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I know.
You know.
And I'm sitting there thinking, like, what happened to how TV used to be? You know, the majority of the time I'll have the TV on, but it's for noise. Or I could go days without having it on.
But,
you know,
you have to take all the stuff that you're seeing, you're hearing,
right. You're
listening to on the radio, into consideration with an ignorant society, and, oh boy, you ain't got much to go on now, do you?
No.
Nope.
That's the world as we know it. And it's not going to get any better.
And the thing is you just go back 25 years, and people had more smartness, more consideration, more, I don't know. I don't know what's happened to the world as a whole nowadays.
I think it all went to hell, and we're just sitting on the bus waiting to get there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
In front of that sign, it says, rent me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know.
And, you know, the beauty of this is, at one point, and we know this, at one point, this show's going to go poof. But until then, we're still able to speak compared to other ones out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's not like we're making some type of derogatory statement. It's not like we're out to get anybody. It's truths we talk about, you know, the truths that nobody else is going to spit out their mouth. And we ain't doing anybody no wrong. It's just that people want to people want to keep people ignorant. And yeah. The only way you get out of ignorance is by saying, you know, I'm not going to be a dumbass. I'm going to research and look stuff up. I'm going to pay attention, and I'm going to try to become the best person I can be.
Right. And if not by Alexa, kiss my motherfucking ass. Oh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we had a decent show today.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Sorry,
but I got a song that describes everything you guys are talking about. Let me do this and I'll be right back.
All right.
The car.
Killer and the color of sinner and the color of poor.
That almost sound like he got off the toilet. And what are you doing over there, Phil?
Much. Just listening.
So, like, your family does a traditional Thanksgiving, Mr. Phil?
Yeah.
Turkey. What kind of stuff? Let me guess. Your stuffing out there has cilantro in it, right?
Nope.
I'm surprised. Everything else does. Yeah, we do a couple of cool stuffings out this way. We got our traditional Portuguese stuffing because this area has a lot of Portuguese people in it, and that's made with chorizo, or some people call it chorizo or chorizo, but it's chorizo. It's a Portuguese sausage, and it's really good, and it makes the stuffing nice and spicy. And then we've got a cranberry walnut style stuffing, and then we have traditional French stuffing, which is a meat stuffing. You know, so what kind of stuffing are you stuffing with there, Phil?
Homemade.
Homemade.
Mom's recipe. My mom's
recipe. Nice. What's in it?
I don't know. I haven't read it.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're how old again?
And your point is?
My point is I'm wondering how many years you've had your mom stuffing and you don't know the recipe.
I know is a combination of breadcrumbs, sage, pepper, celery, the all the shit that comes in the bag you boil and cut up, and something else. The secret ingredient.
Yeah, that's like the French add all that, plus they add ground pork and ground beef. It's like a meat stuffing, and that's really good. If you know how to make it right, that comes out awesome. That's the stuffing my grandmother used to make, my meme, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing I would ever eat with gizzards in it, you know, because I just ain't a gizzard type of girl.
You know, since we're talking about life worth losing, George Carlin summed it up best when he talked about the American dream, which when the last few minutes we've been talking about the American dream that went south. He gives this is his take on it.
George Carlin.
There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucked. And it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe all day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
And you know when he did this in 2000, 7 years later, and basically, Walmart's been doing what he said. So has most of the corporations. Like, we lost Twinkies or Hostess because they went on strike for better entitlements. So where are we going?
The hell in a handbag.
We're going right smack to the bottom.
Here, hang on.
A TV comedian is running for president. A Republican senator is doing stand-up, and the far right is screaming about the outing of a prominent educator, a fictional prominent educator. Our number one story in the countdown. For 40 years, in times of such times of need, I have frequently relied on one man to make some sense of this crap. In a moment, that man, George Carlin, will join us. The story, Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling said last Friday. Her books included as gay homosexual. Trust me, he does have a Falwell's. His recently released career retrospective, George Carlin, All My Stuff, includes 12 HBO specials spanning three decades. George Carlin, pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. This is the best news show ever. I told that to one of your producers, and I want you to know that. I've seen them all, and it's just, especially the first 35 minutes.
Thank you,
sir. It's just unparalleled.
I got bad news between you and I. We got 6 minutes to completely screw that in the ground.
Okay, that's good.
Dumbledore,
yes.
Jerry Falwell,
yes.
Tinky Winky. I'm missing something, and why gay, non-existent characters are so important.
Don't these professional Christians have something to do during the day? I mean, isn't there? Didn't Jesus leave instructions about how to plan your day? Something constructive? Didn't he kind of help people? Didn't he, you know, look out for the afflicted? You know, to use half of A.J. Liebling's quote, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable to complete it. You know, it just seems that they get off on these tangents. You know, and of course the homosexuality and the reading of science fiction such as the Bible. You know, and giving it the standard of truth. I mean, they just it would be cartoonish if it weren't dangerous to some people.
All right, and leading people to establish theocracies and go to war and all the rest of that.
Yes, and instilling guilt and shame and fear in people.
There's a Republican poll out that says that Stephen Colbert is fifth among Democrats. They surveyed 1,000 people who, I don't know, like Republicans or whatever the polling was. But is there a period of time, have we gotten there? Because Macon predicted that eventually we'd actually elect the dumbest guy in America. Are we going to someday elect a satirical president, a guy who really has no intention of having the eyes doing it as a sales tool for something else?
Well, we're working on it. I mean, we did elect something of that nature in 2000 and 2004, if you want to look at it from a long distance. You know, if you're up close, it may not be that. I was around in 1960 when Professor Irwin Corey ran for president. And I was around in 1968 when Pat Paulson ran for president. And I think Larry Flint had a go at it there. For one, it's why is he the fifth among Democrats? Doesn't he play a Republican on television?
Yeah, apparently he Tancredo. He's only got like 1% of the Republican, because he is, as Ray once posited, was the best way to try to get elected, run for both the Democratic and Republican nominations. You have two chances.
He's just a wonderful comic relief, and I hope he goes far, and I hope he can get a couple of primary states under his belt.
We really upset this thing. The reverse of Colbert, I want to play you this clip. It's Senator Arlen Specter and a story that he says his colleague's father used to tell. Play this thing.
They and I have sex almost every night. We almost have sex on Monday. We almost have sex on
Tuesday. As odd as it is to see a Republican senator, even a fairly liberal one from Pennsylvania, standing there at the Improv.
Yes, yes.
Is there something positive about this? Because, you know, if Nelson Rockefeller had made that joke 40 years ago, not only would he have been out of the presidential race, he would have had to resign as governor of New York. Just anything that touchy. Is it better that we're letting these guys get up and have fun?
I liked Rockefeller because he gave the finger to the Republican convention, the conservatives in 1964, and then he died in the saddle, which I thought was a nice thing for the Republic. Of course, he had his screw you money off and put away a long time before.
Yeah.
I think that's a great joke that Spector told. I was waiting for Phil Spector. I wasn't sure. Either Spector might have been okay for me.
Yeah, well, Phil is no longer involved in the government. Well, not directly, anyway.
No.
Now he's being pursued by the government.
Right.
I mentioned Bob and Ray. Those were my heroes when I was a kid. At the height of Watergate, I got to interview them, and I said, you know, why don't you do, because they've gone after McCarthy in a limited way, but a very effective way. So why don't you do more political humor? And Ray Goulding said, how could we make that funnier?
Yeah.
Do you feel that way about President Bush?
Well, I use the sledgehammer. I don't bother with the rapier on Bush. And I don't really do a lot of political humor, but I have some glancing blows in the current show that I'm developing. And one of them is a reference to him as Governor Bush and the fact that I will always think of him, no matter where they hang his portrait, no matter where they put his statue. That's what he is. He's Governor Bush, because that's the last elected office he held legally in this country. So I like moving in and really hurting them.
Yeah.
I don't like this let's be cute and let's be clever. I like smashing them. That's the only way to take care of them.
The other day, and speaking of smashing things, I quoted in this newscast, first item in the newscast, the seven words you can't say on television, the story of them, and the fact that everybody forgets that the first part of that story is the guy who had his phone tapped and would answer the phone, Lee Hoover.
Yeah.
We're back there. How did we get back to the same position that we were when you made that joke originally in the 70s?
You're talking about wiretapping.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that we ever really left. I don't think that Frank Church Committee really did any good. I don't think all of these reforms. I think power does what it wants. Power does what it wants. And now they're just more naked about it. Now they just put it right out front and say, this is what we're doing to you folks. It's, you know, this country's finished. It's been sliding downhill a long time. And everybody's got a cell phone that makes pancakes, so they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to make any trouble. The people have been bought off by gizmos and toys in this country, and no one questions things anymore. Seriously, that's what I love about your show. I mean, you bring the thing right to them, and that's the only way to do it.
If you got the platform, and you're not doing something with it, you might as well have a trained monkey out here. The one and only George Carlin. The retrospective is called George Carlin, All My Stuff. On DVD, go buy it. A pleasure having you.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
That's Countdown to this, the 1,637.
Oh. Yeah. Yep. He says it how it is.
Yep.
I always loved him.
Yeah, me too.
Here's another one.
Now, having somewhat successfully established my press credentials, and because you and I have at least one thing in common, which is that all of us deal with language all the time, I thought it might be nice today for me to come to you with some of my language complaints. Certainly not to blame them on you, although, of course, you are implicated. And not that you can help it. I mean, the problem is really with the people you cover, the politicians, the celebrities, and the lawyers. And although their level of insincerity is astonishing, it's still kind of fun to hear them talk. In particular, it's fun to listen to Washington talk. Whenever the issue of term limits comes up, I always tell people the only term limits I'm interested in would be to limit some of the terms used by politicians. They speak, of course, with great caution, because they must take care not to actually say anything. Proof of this, according to their own words, is that they don't actually say things, they indicate them. As I indicated yesterday, and as the president indicated to me, but sometimes they don't indicate, they suggest. Let me suggest that as I indicated yesterday, I haven't determined that yet. See, they don't decide, they determine. If it's a really serious matter, they make a judgment.
I haven't made a judgment on that yet. When the hearings are concluded, I will make a judgment, or I might make an assessment. I'm not sure. I haven't determined that yet. But when I do, I will advise you. You don't tell, they advise. I advised him that I had made a judgment. Thus far, he hasn't responded. They don't answer, they respond. He hasn't responded to my initiative. An initiative is an idea that isn't going anywhere. When he responds to my initiative, I will review his response, take a position, and make a recommendation. See, they don't read, they review. They don't have opinions, they take positions. And they don't give advice, they make recommendations. And so, at long last, after each has responded to the other's initiatives, and each has reviewed the other's responses, and everyone has taken a position, made a judgment, and offered a recommendation, now they have to do something. But that would be much too direct. So instead, they address the problem. We're addressing the problem, and we'll soon be proceeding. That's a big activity here in Washington. Proceeding. They're always proceeding. We're moving forward. A lot of that goes on. Senator, have you solved that problem? Well, we're moving forward on that. And when they're not moving forward, they're moving something else forward, such as the process. We have to move the process forward so we can implement the provisions of the initiative in order to meet these challenges. No one has problems anymore. Challenges. That's why we need people who can make the tough decisions. Tough decisions like how much soft money can I expect to collect in exchange for my core values? Can continue my work in government. Of course, no politician would admit to such a lowly station as working in government, serving the nation. I'm serving the nation. Another favorite distortion is public service. I'm in public service. I like America, don't you? The food is great, but the public service is terrible. Now, folks, a question for you. Do you think it's possible that one of these politicians, whose judgment is so poor that he honestly thinks of himself as serving the nation, might occasionally be expected to indulge in a little patriotism? Huh? What do you think? Well, of course, not only is it possible, it's inevitable, and that's when he's at his very best. That's when he trots out the really good stuff all across this great land of ours. The greatest nation on earth, the greatest nation in the history of the world. And at times of military crisis, you can be sure that someone in a suit in this town will eventually plant himself in front of a camera and carry on a great deal about the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. Now, normally, during peacetime, the politicians will refer to people in the military as our young men and women stationed around the world. But in wartime, they quickly become our brave young fighting men and women stationed halfway around the world in places whose names they can't pronounce, wondering if they'll ever see their loved ones again. For added emotional impact, sons and daughters can always be substituted for men and women. And so I think we can sum this up by saying that where the military is concerned, the extent of a politician's insincerity can be measured by how far around the world our soldiers are stationed and whether or not any of them can pronounce it. Incidentally, another way of expressing this sentiment is to say we're sending our young men and women to places the average American can't find on a map. I've always thought it was kind of funny and somewhat out of character for a politician to go out of his way to point out the low level of American intelligence when indeed his very job depends upon it. It would seem to fly in the face of that other rhetorical standby of theirs. The American people are a lot smarter than they're given credit for. This is said with a straight face, although it is obvious, of course, that the proposition is being stated precisely backwards. But the politicians, God bless them, or something like that, they're at their most entertaining when they're in trouble. When they're in trouble, their explanations usually begin simply with words like miscommunication. What did you do wrong, Senator? Well, it was a miscommunication. Or I was quoted out of context. Better yet, and more ironic, they twisted my words. Such a nice touch. A person who routinely spends his days torturing the language complains, they twisted my words. Then, as the controversy continues to heat up, he moves to his next level of complaint. The whole thing has been blown out of proportion. It's always the whole thing. Apparently, no one has ever claimed that only a small portion of something was blown out of proportion. Has to be the whole thing. That's because now he's feeling the heat. And so, as time passes and more evidence comes in, he suddenly changes directions and tells us, we're trying to get to the bottom of this. Now he's on the side of law and order. It's jujitsu, really. We're trying to get to the bottom of this so we can get the facts out to the American people. That's always a nice touch, American people. In fact, at this point, he might even say, I'm willing to trust in the fairness of the American people. Clearly, he's preparing us for something. And so, when finally all the facts come out and our subject seems quite guilty, he employs that sublime use of the passive voice, mistakes were made. Mistakes were made. Don't look at me. Probably someone in my office. Things are moving faster now. Mistakes were made is rapidly overtaken by there is no evidence. No one has proven anything. Eventually, I will be exonerated. I have faith in the American judicial system. And that certain sign that things are closing in, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? Whatever happened? Well, he's about to find out. And we know this must be true because the next thing we hear from him is, I just want to put this thing behind me and get on with my life. I just want to put this behind me. That's an expression we hear a lot these days in all walks of life. From people in all walks of life, usually the person in question has committed some unspeakable act. Yes, it's true, I strangled my wife, shot the triplets, set fire to the house, and sold my young son to an old man on the train. But now I just want to put this thing behind me. That's the problem in this country. Too many people are getting on with their lives. I think what we really need more of is ritual suicide. You know? Never mind the press conferences. Get the big knife out of the drawer. Personally, what I want to do is to put this, I want to put this thing behind me and get on with my life, thing behind me and get on with my life. I'll repeat that for you. Personally, I want to put this thing behind me and get on with my life, thing behind me and get on with my life. And just to round out this section, let's hope there's a special place in hell reserved for those who have recently decided to take responsibility for their actions. That's the big thing now, taking responsibility for your actions, like it's a recent discovery. You know, he's taking responsibility. Wonderful. Ask him if he's willing to take responsibility for my actions, along with my alimony, my car payments, and my gambling debts. Now, continuing with more of these more general language complaints, if we're getting the Washington angle for...
I'm going to close it out
now,
with that.
Now, having somewhat successfully established my...
I'm going to take it out. We'll see you Thursday. Good night, everybody.
We're going to be here on Thanksgiving night.
Huh?
We're going to be here on Thanksgiving night.
Popping in and out.
What?
Gonna pop in and pop out, maybe 10, 15 minutes. That's it, just to say Happy Thanksgiving and out the door I go.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right, talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Good night.